Ryan Rashog, who never wears a jean jacket unless it's sleeveless, joins us from Chicago. Shogger, how you doing?
Only my Metallica shirts are sleeveless, buddy.
Hey, that's true.
Speaking of clothing, what color did you go with for your pants today at the golf tournament?
Shog, it's too warm. I wear shorts.
Shorts. Okay, so what color are the shorts?
My shorts are black, and my shirt is a nice bright green color, my favorite.
So you went loud with the shirt, eh?
It's not really loud, no. It's pretty just it's like a green shirt.
Yeah. Now, have you ever worn this green shirt with the fluorescent green pants you showed up in last year?
See, you're showing your lack of fashion sense. You rarely wear clashing colors with your pants or your shirt. Of course not, no. I would wear a green shirt with black pants, or if I wear a green shirt or my green pants, then usually I will wear a black or a white top. Yeah. No, you missed those green pants.
Well, if you're accusing me of having no fashion sense, I am guilty as charged.
No, you're a pretty good dresser. I've never seen you on the golf course, so I have no idea, how you look that way. Kimmo Timonen, is he coming back in tonight?
Yeah, we think so. Based on everything we saw at practice today, looks like he's going to be in. Joel Quenneville kind of made his rounds at the end of practice, talking to all the players. And then Kaminsky and Rundblad both condition skated, which tells us Kaminsky is out.
Okay.
So then it comes down to Trevor Van Riemsdyk or Kimmo Timonen, and potentially both of them, because we don't know if Oduya is going to skate. So we believe that Timonen is in for Kaminsky and that Van Riemsdyk is going to take warm-up skate in case Oduya can't go. And that maybe Joel Quenneville opts for the veteran guy with a little bit more experience, over the younger guy, the rookie.
Well, really, Timonen's going to play, 6 minutes in the third pairing?
Yeah, I mean, if all goes to plan. You know what, though? I'll tell you what, it depends, because if Oduya is not available, then his minutes will be significantly more, right? That's the catch here, is that if Oduya can't play, they're going to need to load some minutes onto somebody. And I think that's part of why Timonen will be in there, because he's more of a veteran guy, and they'd rather lean on him than the kid.
So you think if Oduya is out, Kimmo Timonen's going to move into the number four slot?
Well, I think there's a very good chance he could, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, maybe Van Riemsdyk, but that would be a lot for a rookie. We'll have to see which way Joel goes with it. We'll have to wait and see if Oduya is in or not, but I think that he's leaning on Timonen for a reason. And you know what? When we talked to him in the dressing room today, he genuinely spoke as though he was going to be playing. I mean, he really did.
Okay. The Blackhawks, I was listening this morning, your stat about Joel Quenneville's numbers in games 4 through 7 compared to games 1, 2, and 3. And clearly, they've gotten better as series go. Those stats, though, we can all debate, and it's a new series. They've never played Tampa Bay in games 4 through 7, so we'll see. But if you're Chicago, I don't think they're nervous yet, Ryan, because they're probably looking at themselves and saying, if we don't miss empty nets, which we shouldn't do, we'd be up 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I don't think the Blackhawks are going to be a nervous group, at least not their core group, the guys that have been through these battles before. I don't think they're going to have nerves in this situation. I mean, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and those guys, they've just been in too many spots in the past. And so I think that what history has shown you is that they maybe back their way into series a little bit. Their first three games, they're not necessarily, the record isn't near what it is for the last four, and it's maybe it just takes a few games to figure out their opponent. I mean, the Blackhawks are credited for being a team that can win a bunch of different ways. They can skate with you. They can absorb the punishment if you want to try and hit them. They can do it a bunch of different ways. And, they haven't played Tampa that many times this year. Maybe it's just taken them a little bit to figure out. And we'll see tonight how much of the play they can carry. Like, talking to a couple guys in the dressing room today, and what they want to have different tonight. They want more puck possession. They want to carry the play a little bit more. They feel like they've been giving up possession of the puck too easily to Tampa Bay, and then that's caused them a lot of problems. So, look for them to make smart plays plays that have a focus on possessing it, maybe rather than giving it up and trying to chase it down against, pretty mobile defensemen.
Ryan Rashog, the Rashog Report, brought to you by Bell Van Constructions, joins us from Tampa Bay. Ryan, of course, all the eyes are on Ben Bishop. Did Ben Bishop, he didn't take the morning skate today, did he?
Oh, yeah, he did. He was out there.
Oh. And how'd he look?
Honestly, it was identical the other day. Like I'm telling you, it's identical to the way that it was the other day. He took the morning skate, didn't look great, addressed the media afterwards, didn't say much. John Cooper said it's the exact same situation heading into this game as it was heading into the last game. They've got to wait and see. So it's basically same thing all over again, and we talked about this yesterday. Should he be making the decision to go with him if the mobility issues persist? And it looks like they probably will. I believe he will. I'm not entirely convinced that he should be.
What is the rumor mill saying about the injury to Bishop?
Well, we think it's... I was sitting with Martin Biron this morning, and we were analyzing him, and he thinks it looks like it could be something like in the groin or the knee, on the left side, that he's not pushing great left to right. And that when he comes back and lands hard on his left, that's when he tends to be wincing a lot. So, I mean, a former NHL goalie believes it looks like it's a groin or a knee on the left side.
Now, when you talk to Biron, what did he say? Obviously, there doesn't seem to be a worry that he can injure it any worse than it is. It's just a matter of, you know, playing through the discomfort, and it limits him. So did you talk to him to find out? Obviously, moving side to side is what they'd like to do, but that's not as easy as just saying, okay, guys, let's attack in the offensive zone and get the goalie moving side to side. Did Biron say there was other ways Chicago could try to exploit this weakness / injury?
Yeah, you know, in watching him, like that's the thing. Will a few more days off help fix it, right? Will a few more days off, is it the type of injury that it'll make it better? And maybe we'll learn more about what kind of injury it is tonight. Because if he doesn't play, then perhaps it is the type of thing that, you know, a few days rest on it has a chance to get him back closer to 100%. So we'll read a lot into what happens tonight. If he plays tonight, then obviously it's the type of injury that is just, you know, he's not going to make it worse by playing on it. But I can't imagine they would be risking him and significant injury. I mean, he still is their franchise goaltender by putting him in there. So, and you know what? The one thing that Marty did say is, I mean, it's Ben's decision. Like, really, it's Ben's decision. It comes down to him telling the coach if he thinks he can play, how mobile he feels, and whether or not he can get it done.
Did you have a chance to talk to John Cooper about the fact Stamkos played 4.5 minutes more in Game 3 than he did in Game 1?
Yeah, no, I was... Cooper did the same thing again today. He had his press conference at the same time Bishop was on the ice practicing. And that caused a little bit of an issue because he can't be in both spots at once. So I stayed out to keep an eye on Bishop. Now, I got back in late, and he was talking about... I think he did address it today. I think part of it, buddy, is I think Tyler Johnson is pretty banged up. Like, he's not taking any face-offs. His minutes are a little bit down. I think that Johnson is a little bit banged up, and they're compensating with Stamkos. And I think it's great. I mean, 17 minutes, 17 seconds in the first game, all the way up to, what was he, 21-plus in Game 3? Yeah. I mean, that's good. I felt that's what he should be playing all along, and now he's up in that range where the superstars all belong in the biggest games.
It's funny how you say compensating with Steven Stamkos. I know what you mean, but it's somewhat true in how you look at it, and that just shows how you need depth in the postseason to win. And when you can have a guy who is very good, like Tyler Johnson, Stamkos gets all the credit, of course, as he is, but Tyler Johnson's been a very good player for 2 years in Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. Very, very good. And very, really good early on in the postseason, too, right? I mean, he's right there in the mix in that conversation for the Conn Smythe. And like Bob McKenzie talked about yesterday, you know, really, he's a goal and a couple points in this series away from being very much right back in that conversation, too. So I think we believe it's a wrist injury. He's not taking draws. There were a couple of practices where he had very little zip on any of his shots. And if you just watch the way he's playing, I mean, on that power play, he still sits down on that left side, but he doesn't look like he's an option for the one-timer. So it's a pretty important weapon that's been watered down significantly. Johnson's offense is critical to these guys, and he's definitely banged up.
Any other changes lineup-wise for the Chicago Blackhawks? I know Brian Bickell is out. Is that just a healthy scratch, or is he still injured?
No, he's a healthy scratch. Totally healthy scratch. And I talked to Bickell today, and he's pissed. Like, he's not happy. He feels like, I mean, he said he thought it went well for him last game. I think 90% of the people who watch that game closely will tell you that's not the case. I didn't think he was very good. I mean, I can remember him throwing one half-decent hit, but he didn't generate a lot, and he wasn't a difference maker at all. I mean, the Brian Bickell that earned himself that massive deal, you look at where his game was at and the way he was able to impact games back then, he's a shadow of that right now. And honestly, I don't blame Joel Quenneville for pulling him out of the lineup. If you're not going to be banging and crashing and making life tough on the other team and you're not scoring any at all offensively, well, what are you doing? You're just eating up minutes. And why not throw Christopher Stieg in there, who's got some experience and, you know, been through this type of thing before, and give him a chance? I mean, he's just he's chomping at the bit to get in there. So why not? By the way, we think there's a chance for Stieg could end up playing on the third line and that Patrick Sharp could potentially bump up to the second line. We're not 100% certain on that at this point, but we got a few indications in the room today that that might happen.
So then Sharp would play with Kane and Richards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you'd have Dodd, Taves, and Hossa on the top line.
Yeah, it's at some point, you know, the Patrick Sharp's got to get going. Well, so does Kane, so does Taves. Was that talked about at all amongst those guys? That, you know, like Patrick Kane historically in the Cup Final has been great, right? So I understand that, you know, you don't want to push the panic button, but the reality is if those guys don't get going and scoring, Chicago I don't think has a chance to win the series.
Well, and Taves was asked that question yesterday, flat out. Guy just said, if you and Patrick don't get scoring, can your team still win this series? And he said, yep. Like, he didn't even hesitate. Yep, we got lots of guys, and guys that have been here before. And I mean, of course, what's he going to say? No. But I think they genuinely believe that. I mean, if you look at the history of it, Jonathan Taves has not lit it up in the Stanley Cup Final, just a couple of goals. So, yeah, they can still win without him scoring, but they need his line. They need him. They need a line contributing, and if they're not contributing offensively, he's been pretty good defensively, and in the faceoff circle, he's been a beast. So he's kind of taking care of all those other little things that Jonathan Taves takes care of when he's not scoring. But they absolutely have to get one of either he or Patrick Kane to start finding the net here. Or I mean, offensively, this team, just the confidence offensively is not there. And especially a team that keeps getting down in games. I mean, they're constantly chasing it. They've led for, I think, 6 minutes and 19 seconds or something ridiculous in this series. They've been chasing it most of the time. And when your gunners aren't scoring and you're chasing the game, that's a recipe for some big letdowns. It almost happened in Game 1.
I know what all eyes are on the Stanley Cup Final, Ryan, but there was kind of an ominous tweet a few weeks ago by a guy from NBC who said relocation could happen as early as the end of June. And, you know, people were like, oh, what's he referring to? And then, of course, the story from Glendale, Arizona, and, you know, the city of Glendale, their special meeting, and it seems like they're trying to get out of that deal. What's the scuttlebutt going around? I know that a lot of the media guys are there. What's everyone thinking about what's happening in Arizona?
Yeah, well, it's definitely newsy, and people are definitely talking about it. And I know that you know, that Darren Dreger did some reporting today on Portland kind of surfacing as somewhat of an option, which I think that's interesting to me. I've played some hockey down in Portland back when I was in the Western League. That building is a good building. I mean, and they filled it back then for the Western League.
They got the new rink now in Portland.
Yeah, for sure. But my point is the fan base is there and it's strong. I mean, they'd get 15,000-16,000 for a Western Hockey League game back in the day anyways. So, yeah, I think we'll have to wait and see on that front. This Arizona thing, I mean, it's just somebody just needs to step on this thing's throat and put an end to it. Like, enough is enough. We're talking about this every single year, year after year after year. Bettman just seems to refuse to want to let it die, and it's a hill he's willing to stand and fight on. We'll see what happens here.
It's pretty embarrassing for me, Ryan, that you're sitting in a city where they're paying you to stay there every year, millions of dollars.
It's, yeah.
You know, it bothers me that the NHL is doing that. I've said it all along. I'm not going to change my opinion on it.
Well, and missed opportunity too for the franchise, like. They needed something to hang their hat on in the way of a rock star. I mean, that city needs a rock star. They do, and they have not had one. I mean, Shane Doan, sorry, all due respect, he's Blazer alumni, but he's just not cutting it anymore. They needed Connor McDavid. They needed Jack Eichel. They still need that guy, and that's why I've wondered all along if, in the name of finding that superstar, they wouldn't be willing to make a move and a swap, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson goes out and some young stud forward comes in. And now that they've moved Yandel, I think it's a lot less likely. But that's what they've needed there for a long time, is a stud, a star that they can put in the spotlight and market around.
Yeah. Even then, if they get him, the NHL still bleed money from the city, which I'm not a fan of either way. And, I've said it many, many years ago, they should have left there. I understand there's a small, loyal fan base. I get that. And, yes, that'll be unfortunate for them. But it's just simply not right to have a billionaire business, you know, just directly taking money every year from them. I don't buy it.
Yep. I agree. Probably a lot of other owners feel the same way, right?
Yeah, so hopefully at some point they make the right decision. Enjoy the game tonight, Shogger. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. Enjoy it.